In this risky business we call journalism, another reporter loses his life for digging up dirt on a FIFA official. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Behind the Media. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
We find the interesting or sometimes disturbing in media so you don't have to go searching for it. Like us on Facebook, use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter, and listen on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and the CLNS Media Network. Today's episode is powered by Away, thoughtful standards for modern travel. Away makes suitcases for the way we all travel, with features like an ejectable TSA-approved battery or a built-in front pocket, and they come in a range of colors and materials that suit your travel style. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com and enter promo code CLNS. So, it's yet another tragic story. I mean, all last year, Jimmy, we were talking about what happened in the Saudi embassy with Khashoggi, and it just highlighted the dangers for journalists out there.
Actually, you know? Dan, you've cited way too many examples of dangers for journalists. We've had crazy people walking into news organizations and taking out a firearm and taking out people. I mean, what's going on in this world right now is extremely disturbing.
Yeah.
People are reacting violently to things that used to roll off people's backs, or at least
they weren't going to kill you.
Right. And now we're seeing it all over the world, and here's another case. Now, I love your tease.
Yeah.
Where you talked about something about the FIFA. A reporter exposes corruption in FIFA. Now, let me tell you about FIFA. Okay? Their middle name is corruption.
I know.
They have been corrupt for many, many years. The United States Attorney General took down FIFA and their longtime leader, Sepp Blatter, back in, I think it was 2015. Mm-hmm. And this is, look, people like to be bribed. They like to be in power. They like to be bribed because, you know, it makes you feel good when somebody says, oh, come on, let's have the little tournament in your nation.
Right.
And, oh, by the way, here's a gift if you decide to give it to us, right? And it's $65 million. No, $65,000 here and there.
Yep,
and,
yep.
But this is an interesting one because even though the journalist was from Ghana,
right? Right.
The people, there was some inciting. There was actually some public figures and saying, this journalist did this to us. They exposed us for what we were doing wrong. And, you know, if you happen to see this
assault them.
In fact,
there was a member
out.
Of parliament in Ghana. And that was the most trouble. I mean, obviously, this young man lost his life as well. But the fact that the political leadership was inciting, you know, encouraging the public to go after this reporter is just troubling. I mean, and they have to know. They have to know that it's not just, oh, we're saying this, but nobody will do it. No. In this day and age, when you say that, you can expect that some crazy person out there is going to do it.
Yes.
And that's the thing that's so troubling. In fact, so the guy, he worked for this organization called Tiger Eye PI. And it's an investor. His name is Ahmed Hossein Swali, I believe.
Yeah.
And he was killed. And according to this group that he worked with, they said it had the hallmarks of a professional hit.
Yes, he was assassinated.
He was assassinated.
Pretty much what it was.
Now, what's interesting is one of the people who I guess heads this group himself has been doing investigative work and has realized that there's so many dangers in there in going out and uncovering corruption that he goes out in public with a colorful veil. I don't know if you saw that. Yeah, it said that he wears this veil because he doesn't want to be he doesn't even want to be harassed, or he doesn't want anyone to really know who he is, so it allows him just to be able to do his work without people realizing who's behind that veil.
I also saw in here that he is, you know, faking his identity a little bit so he can uncover, you know, there was human trafficking involved here.
That's a whole ethical thing for a discussion there about what ends should you deceive in order to get at a bigger, more important story. And I think
go undercover.
Right. And I don't think anyone has problems at all if, in fact, you're doing it for the sake of uncovering something really
but
egregious.
But you are putting yourself at risk when you do that.
Oh, no doubt about it. And especially, I mean, look, anytime you're doing any serious investigative piece, you know that someone's going to get upset. And if you're in a certain kind of country, you may end up losing your life.
Right.
And we've seen that in Egypt. We've seen it in Turkey. We've seen it in Russia. And now Ghana is another place. And just kind of wind back a little bit. So this reporter, the piece that he had done a number of different pieces, but this one was part of a documentary. And he pointed out how a member of FIFA, the FIFA Council, was one of the most, the second, I guess they describe him as the second most powerful man in African soccer at the time,
yep.
took a bribe of $65,000. And apparently they saw this, like there was video of showing him with, you know, with smiles on his face as he was stuffing these wads of cash into black plastic bags. And he agrees to sort of use his position as the president of the Ghanaian Football Association to help businessmen. So this was all exposed by this reporter. Now, you know, I couldn't find anywhere if any arrests have been made or if, you know, there's sort of this direct link between what he had done with this group in terms of uncovering these actions, whether there's a direct line between the two. But certainly there's a lot of suspicion and a lot of, you know, it's pretty credible stuff out there. If you do this kind of work and people are mad at you, you got to look in that direction and say, did this have something to do with it? Certainly we know, as you pointed out, this parliament official who was encouraging people to carry out violence, it could be that as well.
Right. And I'll tell you, look, it's my favorite sport, folks. Soccer, football, as they say around right. everywhere. And it's the number one sport in the world outside of the United States and Canada. Where anyway, so my point being is this is a corrupt organization. Soccer has always, because it is so popular in each country, because it is the number one sport, it does lend itself to corruption because you can bribe a referee and you can, you know, impact the outcomes of games.
Right,
what
right.
we forget is that these are games for entertainment for people who enjoy watching
the game. There's a lot of money at stake here.
We totally understand there's a lot of money. And by the way, the referee usually is not the one who's making all that money.
No,
I just want to say,
no.
because people are not paying to go to see the referee the game.
No.
They are going. So match fixing has happened in this sport in the past in a number of different leagues.
And that's not, it has nothing to do with match.com.
Nothing to know. Different kind of match. Right. A soccer game is called a match.
Right, then. I know. I couldn't okay. let that one
I know you didn't. I know it's good. I have no problem with that, as you know. but it's sad again that my sport is getting victimized again. And now, of course, you see the passion of it. Look, I'll never forget the story in the 1994 World Cup where a Colombian fullback, a defensive player, scored an own goal against the United States.
Oh, yeah, he made a mistake.
Right.
And then the crowd went after him?
No, how about he got killed when he got back to his country?
Oh, yeah.
That's not a good thing.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
That is not a good thing. And, that takes sport too far.
Right.
This is an entertainment vehicle. Yes, it affects your mood.
But anytime there's money attached to it, all kinds of – nobody wants to lose. They're crazy fans, certainly. But when you lose big games, that means money somehow or bets and – people want to get back at you. Now, my question is this. Whenever we see these cases where someone has been killed, reporter has been killed, do you get a sense that it's just retribution, this sort of isolated retribution, or is it more to make a bigger point to say this is what happens to people who snoop around and uncover stuff? Or is you think it's a little bit of both?
I think it's people who step away from the norm. Here's an investigative reporter who's going to try and uncover something that's being done illegally.
Right. But what is the reason they get taken out? Is it because, you know, you have this corrupt official who says, I'm just mad at them? Or is this person saying, I don't want, you know, this is a lesson to all you reporters out there who think you can go snooping around destroying people's lives.
I think that's the bigger picture of it, for sure.
It's a chilling effect that it's having, perhaps.
Correct. Absolutely. And again, power and money corrupt.
Right.
And I'm going to throw my gender under the bus again.
Here. Oh, no. How?
It's usually men that feed off power and greed. I'm sorry. It's true. You know, I'm not saying that it's not just men, but it's certainly a majority of men that are in power that are always susceptible to a little bit more, a little bit more. I just want a little bit more. I just want to be able to, you know, do this now and do this, because it feeds your ego. It feeds the flaw that is the human itself, that we have these frailties, and men have more frailties, I believe, than women do.
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe there's a poll out there we can find.
Think about it, though.
Who has the most
Think about this for a second. Has there ever, I mean, I don't know if it's an ever. It's not an ever. I'm sure this has happened. When we have these horrible stories about mass shootings.
Right.
Any of them female?
Not that I'm aware of.
Enough said.
Okay. No, it's
there's a consistency there.
Well, look,
amongst our gender.
Here's to kind of, you know, sort of put a bow on this. One of the troubling things about what we're seeing around the world, and of course, journalists have been getting killed overseas for forever. But what worries me now is that the level of rhetoric that we have in this country is only encouraging the same kind of rhetoric in places where we didn't hear this kind of talk before. We didn't see this kind of, reprisal against reporters before. Not to say it didn't happen, but at this level, certainly publicly, they didn't. And we talked about this before last year, Jimmy, is that there was always a sense, especially if you were trying to target an American reporter or reporters in general, you didn't want to do it because you know the big United States was going to stand up and say, you can't do this. We're going to take away your money. We're going to drop this. We're going to do that.
Sanctions.
They knew that there would be this. There would be something that the United States had to say about it. Right.
Right.
Now, I think we can fairly say that they can do this stuff. And we've heard it, you know, anecdotally. Well, they can do whatever they want, and the United States is not going to say – they're going to say you're okay.
Yeah.
We're still friends. We got oil.
I will say this about the United States. At least we don't have to worry about the government right now because we don't have one.
No, well, and that's another sad story going on right now. But anyway, we hope – I don't know what the answer to this is. I mean,
remember the days when you used to have Red Cross and people would leave the Red Cross alone, whether it be a Jeep. You know, it was marked in a war.
Yeah.
They would leave the –
And it used to be like that for reporters too. You had a vest. In fact, I still have one of those that says press on it.
Right.
You don't want to do that anymore because that's a target.
Now you become a target.
And I don't know how that changes. You know, how you're able to turn that around. I don't have the answer. I can't even foresee a time where it won't be like this anymore, because once it happens, once people realize
they can
reel
it back in and change
it.
We've had those barriers and for years, symbols for years, and now they mean nothing.
And unless you have a whole new generation that comes along with a different way of thinking, and so we're decades away from that. So it's unfortunate. And this investigative reporter, and who knows? You know, we don't have all of the facts. But what we do know is that he was murdered. What we do know is that he was an investigative journalist. What we do know, he's done this documentary that uncovered bribes. And what we do know is that there's a member of parliament who was specifically encouraging the public
to target
this guy. And so usually in math, when you add some numbers together, they usually equal the numbers that they always equal, as in 1 + 1 = 2, although you can argue there's 1 and 1 and all this. But anyway, we know that there are certain math principles. When you add them together, there's a certain answer you get. And I think in this case, we kind of know what the answer is.
Indeed.
Disturbing. Yes. If you like this episode, let us know. Like us on Facebook. Use the hashtag #BehindTheMedia to engage with us on Twitter. And write to us with questions or comments at info@littlepartmedia.com. That's info@littlepartmedia.com.